First, let's go talk to Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. He's standing by live on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay, Bill.
All right. Where is everything at right now? Are you still waiting on word from state officials? A lot of parents coming at me, and I'm sure you guys by the thousands on boys soccer, girls volleyball, and also girls swimming and diving.
Don't have much to update other than conversations are literally ongoing currently. Our position and what our school's position is and what our schools are ready to do have been made very, very clear. And it's now up to downtown Lansing to be able to make some decisions and give some guidance here about what's going to be allowed and what isn't. This is no longer a decision that we as the MHSAA can make. We have to make sure that we're following all current executive orders, of which that is, what essentially right now is the issue. The governor's office is aware of that, and we're continuing to work together here on the resolution. We are also communicating loud and clear that the clock here is ticking, that right now everybody is in limbo, and that this is not fair to our kids and our coaches. And if the answer is no, we need to know that, and we haven't gotten that answer yet, Bill, so because of that, we're going to continue to fight and push and to advocate for what our kids, our coaches, and our schools are telling us to do.
All right, Mark, so let's backtrack here and talk about the member schools, Michigan High School Athletic Association statewide. You mentioned one of the big things connected to high school football and why it wasn't played this year, safety first, but also that the schools are kind of split on this in a 60-40 situation statewide. Where are your member schools at? Just a rough estimate on moving forward with boys soccer, girls volleyball, and girls swimming and diving this fall.
So just a quick word, that figure you cited, that was a survey that we got from our athletic directors. And typically, whenever we survey, our athletic directors are far and away the most, let's move forward, let's try and find ways to play. That is the most progressive, let's go. These are athletic people. It's what they do for a living. It's how they pay their mortgage every month. It's by having school-based activities and school sports. And in this, literally, our athletic director group as a whole typically are our most supportive group. And in that survey, the response on football of our ADs, again, that most strident, ardent group, was only 60-40 with hundreds of concerns. Now, you would have taken the football question. Now, if you would have taken that to the next step to our superintendent group, who now have to weigh everything that's going on in the school district, there certainly would not have been, I believe, from all the superintendents I've heard from, there would not have been even 60-40 support. It would have probably been the other way, if not a larger split with that. So I think it's important for folks to have that context on that survey, who it went to, what we got from the survey, what we got following that survey as it related to football. Now, in terms of the low and the moderate risk sports, there isn't that split decision. All the feedback we're getting from our schools, which goes from the athletic director all the way up to the superintendent, as well as some Board of Education members that we've heard from, in the large majority of our districts, we are getting the message that continue to advocate and push for our kids because they need this activity now more than ever. I think that's why, when it comes to, certainly we've got a handful of districts that have opted out of fall sports, but Bill, of our 750 high schools, right now that is a number that is less than 5%. So 95% of our schools are competing right now in golf, tennis, and cross country. In a 95% plus of our high schools, practices are ongoing for soccer, for volleyball, and then, you know, girls swimming. We don't have as many swim schools as we do have soccer playing or volleyball schools, but that is what we are consistently hearing from our schools, and I think the best metric of that is to look at the number of schools having these six sports, having those teams currently practicing, working in and three of those sports, itching for the opportunity here where we can take the next step forward and begin competition.
Mark Yule, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. He is joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan, an update on fall sports in our state. Medical science and data. The governor and a lot of people in business and in sports have said we're going to follow the medical science and data. What does the medical science and data that your executive council, you, Mark, your team at MHSAA in Lansing, what does the medical science and data tell you about moving forward with boys soccer, girls volleyball, and girls swimming and diving right away?
Well, I think it, you know, the everybody has said now for months, follow the science and the data, and I think the greatest challenge with that is that changes by the day. You know, some of those metrics that we know are benchmark figures for everybody in our state. You look at the percentage of positive tests, and from all the experts, you're really looking for a number that's below 3%. You're also looking at the R score, you know, that numeric value that determines how many of an infected person, how many other people are they giving that to. You know, if that number is above a 1.0, that means every infected person is giving that to more than one person. Well, if that score is below the 1.0, well, that means that an infected person is giving that statistically to less than one person. And again, what we've been told now over months is that's a benchmark to where we're looking to have that number below a 1.0. So these are all things, Bill, that we're just not looking at, but I think every school district right now in our state is looking at. And certainly, you know, what's a challenge and what's troubling is you see, you know, what happened up in Gratiot County where, you know, Mount Pleasant is, and where, you know, with Central Michigan, with them reopening campus to students and the, you know, number of outbreaks and what their county health department has had to do in terms of outside events and gatherings and, you know, college social occasions. So you certainly have, you know, that very new data on one hand, but yet we've also got a lot of our member schools that have begun classes face-to-face. And then you've also got some other colleges to where they've had kids on campus now for going on close to 2 weeks, and they're not experiencing the same things that they did at Central Michigan. So I think all of those things, you continue to take in that data on a daily basis, continuing to look at the trends and how that's changing. And then, of course, I know our, you know, the state is looking at the number of, you know, new cases and hospitalizations, and not just on a daily basis, but they're looking at those over 7 and 14 day numbers. And I think all of us are in that boat, not just the MHSAA, but all of our schools, because that's going to determine what the start of those school years look like as well. But so when it comes to athletics, Bill, and this is the big challenge, you know, everybody says, well, what study is out there that says that, for example, playing football is dangerous? And there isn't any of that research yet in terms of COVID, because there's not a sample size. By that same token, when you ask that question, being in the middle of a pandemic that has changed the way that we do virtually everything in life over the last 6 months, I think a logical question would ask, well, what is the research and data to show that, for example, football can be played right now and it's not going to contribute to the spread of the virus? So you can argue that issue on both sides. You know, the science, you know, there's not any negative research on that, but yet there's not any positive research on that. I think all you can really do is say, well, the things that we have learned over the last 6 months is, and all the instruction we're getting from the CDC on down, is to stay apart from people, wear a facial covering, and don't touch anybody else. Well, two of those three things when playing a game like football is impossible. It's impossible to stay away from people and not touch other people. So just logically, as you start to really think through this and look at the data that's out there and you try and draw some conclusions, and it's not us as lay people drawing those conclusions. It's the all of the medical advice and input that we're getting from the state's medical officer right on down.
Mark Hill, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us live on the Huge Show across Michigan High School Fall Sports Update. Well, off that football conversation, then some people listening right now would say, well, Ohio's playing high school football. Indiana started last weekend. Other states are playing high school football. I think Pennsylvania went against their governor's wishes, and they're playing. Why can't Michigan play, Mark? I think that question has been asked and still is being asked by a lot of people, including those who are going to protest on the state capitol steps on Friday. How do you answer that?
Well, I think, we as an association of member schools need to make sure that we're following all state law and all of the executive orders that have come out during the pandemic do that. So for us to have taken an approach or a track here that would have been in conflict with executive orders, and certainly, Executive Order 160, which came out on July 31st, is one that is, really focused in on a lot of activity. That bill is the executive order that gave some exceptions when it came to athletics for what Major League Baseball was doing as they started up their season right around the 1st of August. It's some language in EO 160 that has really dictated what we have been able to do, what we haven't been able to do. And so for folks to suggest that we know what the executive order says, we've gotten interpretations of that has said that, well, these low-risk sports and moderate-risk sports in these parts of the state, they can move forward, but other sports and other activities cannot. For us then to make decisions contrary to what state law is, and then putting our schools in a predicament to say, well, okay, we're going to, if the MHSAA is deciding to do this, and we're going to go along and do that, which everybody knowingly violates current state law, I don't know how anybody could defend that. To where I understand that political opinions are mixed on a lot of different things in our state and in our nation right now, but for us to try and make a political statement in one direction or another, when at the end of the day we're about health and safety, welfare of the student athlete, and making decisions based on that, that's just a political fight that we're not going to get into. We know what the state law is, we know what the EOs say, and everything that we're currently doing in fall sports, in all of our planning when it comes wintertime and springtime, again, is all reflective of current executive orders, and we're also going to be nimble and flexible as new orders come out that could change current law and the way that things currently have to be constituted. We're ready to update and change those as that goes. So I would love to be able to compose the music here in this overture for the whole thing, but in the midst of a pandemic, that just isn't possible. We have to work with our state government leaders, with our state health officials, and also with our schools and making sure that we're doing things the right way, and also something where we comply with everything that I think the public expects us to.
What about the let them play, not protest, but just rally? It's not a protest. And there is a movement with, I think, close to 20,000 people on Facebook statewide. And I don't know how many people are going to show up at the state capitol on Friday. I think between 4 and 6, 4 and 7, whatever the exact time. The only way there could be a miracle, Mark, if high school football could be reinstated, that would have to come from the governor. Am I correct?
The issue there is the current executive order.
Right, so that would be the governor, and I know they're rallying and they're hoping, and it's kind of like the Big Ten parents who want to meet with the Big Ten for answers, but it's a whole different animal between the Big Ten canceling fall sports and high school sports in the state of Michigan. And I think there's this outpouring of support that even some now have said they want to petition, okay, if we can't play full contact, what about 7-on-7 football in the fall? and then play your football season with pads and equipment in the spring. Have you heard anything? Has anybody approached you about allowing 7-on-7 football this fall at Michigan high schools?
We've got a lot of questions right now, Bill, for the fall that we are currently seeking answers on, and that communication is ongoing. Virtually just before I jumped on the line with you, and it will continue once I'm off the line with you, and we'll see where those answers lead us. That's the most honest and complete answer I can give you right now.
And you've been honest and complete, and that's why I think I'm throwing all the questions I've seen from parents and coaches and student athletes off at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. I just want to really bring those on air because I know you'll be honest, like you have this entire pandemic with everybody across the state with your weekly appearances. One other thing you mentioned when you were talking about the clock is ticking for boys soccer, for girls volleyball, and for girls swimming and diving. What is a deadline that if you don't get an answer from the governor's office or state health officials by this date, you're going to have to beg the seasons?
The answer to that is soon. And I would think that, Bill, the calendar, the date and the month still has to begin with the letter A. So it needs to be soon. And we are right now, again, conversations are ongoing. We need help soon. Once that calendar would turn from August to September, that just becomes a bigger and bigger obstacle. So, again, the most honest answer I can give you right now is soon. Have not put a date yet to it, but like I said, I think it if this is going to be acceptable in some parts of our state for us to move forward with activity in those three sports, I think then for the other parts of the state, it at least deserves a yes or no answer as soon as possible.
There was a good question yesterday at Governor Whitmer's 1:45 p.m. press conference, and I think it was Mr. Eggert from the Associated Press, and he was talking about Region 6 and 8 in northern Michigan. And he said, okay, they've been open all summer for the most part with movie theaters, gyms, other things that Regions 1 through 5 and 7 don't have open. And he asked, was there any data that showed where an outbreak or more cases had happened compared to other things that have been open that aren't open in the rest of the state? And I will be curious, as sports are underway in Region 6 through 8, and they've had indoor workouts and indoor, you know, classes this summer, or, you know, basketball teams getting together. Have you had any data from Region 6 and 8 that have shown, okay, it's good to do this, not good to do this in terms of sports, practicing, and training?
No, there's not a lot of data that you can really go on. A lot of it is anecdotal. It's been the same thing, Bill, that we've been getting since June when we were able to get, you know, our summer activities going with training and conditioning, with social distances. You know, we certainly, you know, and through our survey, we did get a handle on the number of schools that had some positive cases. And those that obviously haven't. So I think you're looking at those. And then obviously with in-person education that started last week and into this week, I think the feedback that we're going to see from schools, and by the way, I do think that moving forward, when you do have some positive cases, it can't be the solution is a total shutdown again, because of course that the reasons for that were to not overload our healthcare system, were to not overload our hospital systems. That, you know, as this virus continues to be around, we've got to come up with a way, when you do have positive cases, how can we get those the care and help that they need? How can we protect others as much as we possibly can, especially those who are the most vulnerable, but yet also allow for work and business to move forward, for education to move forward. And then obviously, athletics and physical activity is an awfully big part of the health and welfare when we're thinking about our young people and those of us who are young at heart too. So I think all of that has to go into that equation.
So if the governor's office called you after this conversation and said, go ahead with boys soccer, girls volleyball, and girls swimming and diving. You are set to go. You have no reservations or hesitation if you're given approval from the governor's office on allowing boys soccer teams, girls volleyball teams, and girls swimming and diving teams in Michigan to immediately begin play.
That's what our board. That's what our board said last Thursday, and then all of our communication since last Thursday, none of that has changed.
The odds on high school football having a Hail Mary, as MLive.com referred to the Let Them Play rally this weekend, the odds on high school football being reinstated, Mark, I know you would love to see it. The same thing, right when we hung up, there's a whole different change of direction, whether it's medically, data, science, and football's back. But the reality is, what, when it comes to high school football?
I'm going to punt on that one, Bill. There's just, I'll like I said, I've been honest with you going back to our conversations in March, and right now I'm going to punt on that question.
All right, what about preparing for the spring with a schedule or a time frame for high school football in the spring?
Process? So, as we move forward again, taking the new information that we get every single day, we're going to put together a task force that's going to not only include our football people, but also our spring sport leadership, and we're going to try and come up with a calendar first of how could football fit along with the other sports that we have in the spring, especially in trying to give a quality football experience without shortchanging our spring sports and I think most of all, not shortchanging our kids that play football as well as a spring sport. So that task force will get together here soon. We would love to have two or three different models that we could then take to our schools in a survey to where we could get their feedback, and then hopefully we have something in place by the end of September. So that's really our goal of what next spring could look like, really nailing down all of the details, all the dates, all the logistics by the end of next month.
Mark, one thing that I'll say, and it was cool with you just reserving comment until a future date on this, I really wanted to make sure every time we're together on air that I ask the questions of people that are asking them. That would be students, coaches, schools, whoever across the state. And I really applaud you, dude, for being able to answer 99.9% of them, because it is next to impossible when it comes to schools and sports, almost at any level, to keep everybody happy. It is. It's impossible.
It's impossible, and Bill, there have been some weeks to where we've had good information to share, and the conversation has been light and enjoyable, and there's also been times to where the topic was certainly not as comfortable and enjoyable, I think, for us involved, but I just hope that people can respect the fact that I never duck, I never hide, that people that email me directly, and it's a respectful exchange. Those are as time permits, I try and answer and respond to those. And to be honest, Bill, a couple of the really bad notes that I've gotten from people that even gave me a phone number. We've taken a page from the Tom Izzo playbook, and I picked up the phone and called them directly and actually had a pretty decent conversation. So there is no hiding here, and good times are in bad times, and we will continue to share what we know and when we know it, and the questions we can answer, we answer, and the questions that we don't know, we say we just don't know that answer yet.
It's amazing when you actually have a conversation with people how no matter how wide the gap is on differences, you can find some common ground, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, and a lot of those they started out somewhat emotionally charged because you're dealing, in many cases, with parents who a lot of times it's their child that's involved. And what makes it even more emotional is when that child involved is a current senior. And the thing is, I can relate to that right now because I've got one of those seniors right now in my own home who's a three-sport athlete. So this isn't about him being a football kid only. This is him as a football kid and a hockey kid and a baseball kid who loves all three sports almost equally. And I can see, you know, how tough this has been on him to navigate, not just the fact of being a 17-year-old senior, but every time you pick up your phone and, you know, friends and buddies want to point out just to some of the absolute garbage that's out there in the social media world attacking their dad, which in a lot of cases isn't even factually accurate. So I think I've got a pretty good vibe right now on how tough this is right now for a lot of our kids. And like I said, I see that firsthand, not just with him dealing with the situation that everybody else is, but with that added fuel, which is no fault of his own based on the job that his dad has.
And that's why, Mark, at Huge Show on Twitter, the Huge Show on Facebook, and on air, I've watched the heat and the PR guns be turned towards you and the Michigan High School Athletic Association and your executive council. And I keep telling people they're doing everything they can to try and get every female and male athlete to play their entire senior year. They're not looking to shut down anything. They follow the law. They follow the executive orders. And that's the way they do business at the Michigan High School Athletic Association. So, Mark, I always appreciate your honesty. And I think the two of us having conversations where all the questions aren't just softballs. I think it's good for people listening, good for you, and good for me.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us here on the Huge Radio Network.